I'd like to take a few moments tonight and speak to you on three words. Three words. Here they are. Ready? Actually, it's one word. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Have you ever made an excuse for something? Don't say no, because then you'd have problems with lying, because everybody has made an excuse before. Famous excuses for being late. My alarm didn't go off. Has that ever happened to you? You know, I can remember it happening to me just a couple of times. It seemed like it happened one time when we were traveling, you know, and the alarm doesn't go off, or maybe it was just me that was traveling. I just remember one time that happening, and when I woke up, it was like shock. And your adrenaline goes from being in sleep mode to, you know, overdrive, like you've been drinking coffee all day, but it happens immediately. You're panicking and all of this. How about this one? The bus was late. The bus was late. Have you ever used that one before? You know, I've heard some of you tell me that before, not because you were late about an appointment or something, but you've said, I missed my bus. I missed my bus. And traffic was terrible. Traffic was terrible. I got caught in a traffic jam. How about this one? I got lost. I got lost. I forgot where to go. I got lost. And I'm late. I lost track of time, and on it goes. Okay, lots of excuses. Didn't get your homework done. What's the famous excuse for not getting your homework done or bringing it to the teacher? My dog ate it. Problem is, you never had a dog. And so you tried to blame that on your brother. And he's not a dog, is he? And so we can make all kinds of excuses. And I trust that through tonight's teaching and preaching from God's Word, we'll learn a little bit from Moses. And maybe you already know about some of his excuses. Heavenly Father, thank you for the meeting thus far. Please fill us with your Spirit, listener and speaker alike. And we want you to receive all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, right now we're living in a time where, as Christians, it might be easy to use the current day that we're living in as an excuse or something that we're not doing that we ought to be. Folks, we're all dealing with the same issue. We're all going through the same problem, some greater than others, but in some way, it's affected the entire world. That's why it's called what it's called. I don't believe we should be using it as an excuse to not be in the will of God. I've written this down. God has a perfect will, and it's not new to you. God has a perfect will for every one of his children. And it's not affected by COVID. God's will is not affected by COVID. Mark it down, because that was part of God's will. God is sovereign. God has designed something specific for you to do for his glory. God has created you in his image, and he's equipped you to do good works, right? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto or for good works. And so it's time that God's people stop making excuses. Stop living in the land of excuse. Well, I can't do this because of this, and I can't do that because of that. I'll tell you, the enemy is attempting every way possible to keep you and me from doing the will of God. The dictionary tells me that an excuse is an explanation offered as a reason for being excused, a plea offered for release from an obligation or a promise. You know, we are obligated to bring glory to God. We are obligated to do that. So what's your excuse? If you're not bringing glory to God, what's your excuse? That's our obligation. It's something we should be doing. And not because we have to, because we want to. We cannot earn our salvation. We can't earn our way to heaven. But we have the great privilege of bringing glory to a holy God. Can you imagine that for just a moment? A sinner saved by grace can bring glory to a holy God. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. By the way, if you're looking for an excuse, Satan is more than willing to provide you with an entire list. My past, my health, current event, my upbringing, my dad, my mom, my husband, my wife, my this, my that. Believe me, Satan will make sure you have a list. We hear them every day, right? The song says. If I'm trying to find a loophole to get out of being a servant or a disciple, that's another word for an excuse, trying to get out of something. Satan has plenty of ways to get us out of them. Well, let's learn a little bit. That's just the introduction. I hope we are challenged by God's word now as we consider this idea of excuses. The first excuse we see in the life of Moses is inability. The excuse of inability. Moses, obviously chapter 3 here, and keeping his father-in-law Jethro's flock. We're not going to read all of these. In verse number 2, we had a miracle of the burning bush that wasn't consumed. God speaking to Moses and God calling him. Skip down now, if you will, to verse number 11. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I? Who am I? I can't go to Pharaoh. I can't speak to Pharaoh. That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt." So the first excuse that we give many times is the excuse of inability. We feel just like Moses. Who am I to go into this world with the gospel? Who am I to tell someone they're a sinner? Who am I to do anything for the cause of Christ? And obviously, there is some merit to that statement. There is some merit to that. But I want to challenge you with this. Don't rush so quickly to quit before you've even started. You understand that? Don't rush so quickly to quit before you've even started, because the Bible says there's one important truth to remember when it comes to this. And God said it to Moses, and he says it to you, and he says it to me. Verse 12, "Certainly I will be with you." Mark it down. I will be with you. When I say I am not able to do the job, I am saying God doesn't know what he's doing. Because God chose me, and God chose you, and God has ordained us to serve him. And he tells Moses, "Hey, Moses, I will go with you." What is this? This is the promise of God's presence. You are able to go. I am able to go. We are able to go into this world. We can do something, not because of us, but because God is with us. The Bible says in the great passage about the Great Commission, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." First, he tells Moses, "I will go with you." This is the promise of his presence. But notice he goes on to say, verse 12, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve" who? "God upon this mountain." Secondly, he says, "After you accomplish what I sent you to do, I'll meet you there." He's not only going to go with them, but he's going to be there at the end of the journey. In fact, what is he saying? He's always advancing. He's always ahead. What is the application to this first excuse, the excuse of inability? Do you have that excuse tonight? Who am I? You're right. You are to say, "Who am I?" But it's not about who are you or who am I. It's who is God. And God is great and almighty. And he goes with us every step of the way. And he wants to see us accomplish great things for his glory. But here's some application. Number one, God knows my weaknesses and my inabilities. Turn to Psalm 103, please. Turn to Psalm 103. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being in church tonight. Again, if you've been able to listen to some of the other preaching, a lot to take in this week. And I hope we're not just taking it in. I hope we're giving it out. That's what we want to be here at Anchor Baptist Church. We want to be teaching others also. Psalm 103, verse 14. The Bible says, "For he knoweth our frame." He knoweth our frame. "He remembereth that we are" what? "Dust." God knows my weaknesses. God knows your weaknesses. But number two, application. God knows we can accomplish whatever it is through his power. Yes, you don't use this excuse of inability. because you are not, you are, you can do whatever it is God wants you to do because God enables us. We don't enable ourselves. God enables us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number three, application. God never sends us alone. We've talked about it. That's Matthew 28:20, Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Excuse of inability. We need help in Anchor Baptist Church. We need laborers. We need people to help with discipleship. We're going to need laborers all summer long if we're going to be doing outdoor services. We need some muscles. We need people to help and be available. Really, that's all God wants, right? You've heard that. The greatest ability is availability. Maybe dependability. Maybe there's more than one. But there's an excuse here that we see in Moses' life, and that is the excuse of inability. I can't do that. Who am I? Remember, you have the Lord with you. And you and God make a majority. We can do great things for the glory of God. The excuse of inability. The second excuse that we see here is the excuse of inadequacy. Inadequacy. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 3. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? And notice what he says. What shall I say unto them? What shall I say unto them? I don't know you enough. And by the way, that is something that is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to get to know the God of heaven. He has revealed himself to us in his word. We have no reason to not know about God. God reveals himself through conscience and creation and through his word. And we have every opportunity as Christians. We know God. We know, okay, the basics, right? We know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that's a basic thing. That's a complicated doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity. But we know that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We know that the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell us as believers the very moment we get saved. And we have these building blocks. We're building. But the bottom line is, as a Christian, we never stop building. We never stop growing, and we never stop knowing more of God. Moses is saying, who do I tell him is being sent? Who do I tell him is sending me? And God gives a response to the inadequacy. He says, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. While Moses may be inadequate, the God who calls him and equips him certainly is not inadequate. God is saying to Moses, and I believe God is saying to me, and I believe God is saying to you this thought, just do as I say, and I will show you who I am as you need me to. In other words, whatever you know to do, you do that, and I'll show up when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Obedience is the very best way, right? Just obey me. Just go where I tell you to go and say what I tell you to say and follow where I tell you to follow. And trust me, Moses, I am more than enough. The Lord leads us out to follow him by faith. But you know what happens? If you didn't read the devotional this morning, of the priests, those priests that are stepping in the Jordan River, that, you know, that just kind of goes right along with this. I mean, here, can you imagine being that? I wrote it this morning. God spoke to me about this, and I've thought about it before. That first priest, those first priests that had to step into the Jordan River, I mean, I'd like to be the guy on the end of the line, right? The first one stepping in the Jordan River, and as I was thinking about it this morning early on, I was thinking, boy, their faith must have really been a little bit shaken until they got a couple of steps in. and you get a couple of steps in and the water is parted and you're on dry ground, I'm telling you what happens when we obey what God tells us to do, and we obey consistently, and we obey week after week and month after month and year after year, and we get saved, we're saved for 5 years and then 10 years and onward, and maybe you're a new Christian and you're just headed to 1 year, just keep doing right and just keep living for the Lord. What happens? Our faith grows. Because God shows up and he proves himself and he provides for us and he always blesses obedience and he chastens us lovingly. The point is this, that as we obey and as we follow him, our faith grows. We don't know much about him at first, but our knowledge grows and our faith grows, and God proves himself adequate and faithful every time. Following the Lord by faith is often a time of uncertainty. When we look at the size of the task and we compare it to who we are, oh boy, I tell you what, we're all going to be lacking at that point, aren't we? So it's not that we don't focus on our inadequacies. We focus on the one who is more than adequate. Noah probably did not feel adequate standing beside the ark. David must have felt pretty small next to Goliath. The three Hebrew children probably felt inadequate against that fiery furnace. Daniel must have felt inadequate beside the lion's den. And on and on and on and on it goes. And we can make every excuse, but again, it's not about my inadequacies. It's about our Father in heaven who teaches us to be more than a conqueror. So Moses said, I have no ability. I'm inadequate. Chapter 4. The third excuse is the excuse of inferiority. The excuse of inferiority. Chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it to the ground. He cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent. Oh, my. Moses fled from before it. Moses decides that if he tells the people that God has spoke to him and God has a meeting with him, no one will believe what he tells them. How many of us today have tried to witness to somebody or have tried to tell somebody what God has done in our life, and maybe it's because of the way we used to be, or maybe it's just because of the world we live in today, when you start to talk about how that you actually talk to God. And some people would take that and begin to think, you know, are you okay? Are you on the level? Is something wrong with you? You're a little peculiar. You talk to God? Now, come on now. What did you have for dinner last night? And we can have an inferiority complex. And this situation in the country of the missionary that we're talking about, we're dealing with a little girl, and God bless her and her testimony for the Lord. And when someone doesn't receive the message that we have and they reject the message that we have, we begin to take it personal. Folks, the message of the gospel is not against you and against me if it is rejected. It is our responsibility to plant. It is our responsibility to go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and let God take care of the result. God's response to Moses is to let him know that when the Lord gets through working and through him, there will be no doubt in the minds of others as to the story of Moses and what he was saying. Look at verse number 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. You know, the greatest, you know, the most powerful test, the most powerful thing that we have in our life is our testimony. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says, a verse I'm sure you've committed to memory, or maybe you've read it, marked it, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God has created us brand new in His image. God has made us to be a new man or a new lady. We aren't what we used to be. The things we used to do, we don't do them anymore. The people we used to hang around, we don't hang around them anymore. Of course, we aren't perfect. We're still, the sanctification process is ongoing. But we don't have to feel inferior to anyone. We don't have to feel intimidated by anyone, because again, it isn't about us. It's about the God who is working in us, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. We are twice bought children of the living God. This makes us people of greatness, not in and of ourselves, but in of our great God. Let's let God continue to work. Let's let God continue to mold us and make us so that the world sees Him. I love what I believe Mrs. Song wrote in that testimony, that this individual might see Christ in us. The world will never understand. The philosophy of the world will never understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And yet they live in bondage every day. And yet we live in freedom every day. And it's all to the glory of God. Let the world see that there's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the world see in you the difference that Jesus Christ has made. Let the world see in us that even though we grieve and even though we go through trials and troubles just like they do, we can somehow be on top side. As I used to hear from one of my pastors, we can live on top side and we can continue to have the joy of the Lord remain our strength day by day. Then Moses gives one more excuse. The excuse of infirmity. The excuse of infirmity. We have inability, inadequacy, inferiority, and then infirmity. Verse number 10. And Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Moses has tried everything possible, and God has always had a reply. Moses appeals now to some sort of a speech impediment. We don't know exactly what it was. Maybe he responded slow. Maybe he stuttered. Whatever it was, he's trying to tell the Lord, "You picked the wrong guy." How many times has this been our excuse? "It's not my nature to talk to people. I'm an introvert." Maybe you are an introvert. That's fine. God uses introverts. God uses extroverts. God uses all kinds. Again, because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about me surrendering. It's about you surrendering. You say, "Well, I have no Bible training. Who am I to talk to somebody about the Bible?" If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, yes, you need to be in your Bible, reading it, studying it, trying to learn more about it. There is something in you that you can give to someone else. It's the Word of God that God has taught you. You have a physical handicap. You think maybe you're too old, or your income level, or whatever it may be. All of these things, we can have excuses. God's response to Moses, look at it. I like this, don't you? This is challenging. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?" "Oh, you can't talk, Moses? Who made your tongue? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or who make or the blind, and look at, have not I the Lord? Now therefore, what's the next two? What's the next word? Two letters. Go. Go. Moses, I made your tongue. Moses, I created you. Moses, I formed you. Like it says in Jeremiah, I knew thee in the belly before thou were born. I knew you. I knew who you were. I made you. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And God says, I took care of it all. I created you. I put everything in place. Now just go. Go as you are. You're the exact man for the job. In all of your inability and infirmity and inferiority and inadequacy, I am with you. I'm going with you. Go. I love that word right there. Go. And I want to tell you tonight, as your pastor, as your brother in Christ, throw away the excuses and go. Go where? Wherever God tells you. Maybe God's calling you to the mission field. And you got a list over here of reasons why you can't go. Tear them up, throw them away, and go. Maybe God's challenging you about an area of ministry within Anchor Baptist Church, and you've got a list of excuses. It's time tonight. Go out in the backyard if you have one, or go maybe if you, you get a pot out tonight and get those excuses out and write them down on paper, put them in a pot, light a match to it. Get rid of it. Take the excuses out of the way and just go. Whatever it is, obey God. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. Look, folks, God can do anything through you and through me if we'd simply go. That's what he told Moses. Go. Notice, and I will be with thy mouth. Huh? I don't know what to tell a person. Go, and God will be with your mouth. Look what he told Moses. I'll teach you what to say. I wish I could say this has happened more in my life than it has, but I can't. I want it to happen more. There have been numerous times where I've been talking to somebody about the Lord, and at the end of the conversation, I have no idea. I had no idea where that came from. Whatever it is. It's just as if somehow God put the words right in the right place. It was nothing to do with me. It was nothing to do with anything I could have ever tried to do. Moses, but God said, I'll teach you what thou shalt say. I'll teach you what thou shalt say. You know what, though? Moses said, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Oh, my goodness. Send somebody else. Well, you know, God sent Aaron. God sent Aaron with Moses as his mouthpiece. Today, possibly a comparison can be made, but I really believe Moses should have stepped up and just done it himself. But I was thinking about a comparison to Aaron going along with Moses, and we have someone who goes along with us. And definitely not like Aaron, because Aaron didn't do a very good job a few times if you follow his life. But go to John 16, 15 as we're closing tonight. John 16, 15. Verse 12, let's say, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. We, as God's children, have his Spirit going with us all the time to show us what to say, to show us what to do, to show us when to be quiet, to show us when to listen, to show us when to be bold, to show us how to have courage, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what your excuse is. If it's one of Moses's or some other excuse, God is able. God is able. We are limiting God by making excuses when God says, I'm right here. Just go. And I will teach you what to say. I want to encourage Anchor Baptist Church. I want to encourage those of you that are online tonight that are maybe from other churches around Canada or around the world, whoever's listening, maybe you're listening to this another day of the week. Don't be caught up in a list of excuses. Let's get rid of the excuses. Let's rededicate our life to the Lord in a sense and say, God, if wherever, whatever, wherever, however, no more excuses. I believe you're able. I want to step out by faith into the overflowing river because I believe you've called me to. Excuses, excuses, excuses. I'm guilty. I've made them. I don't want to make them again. Pray for me. Pray that I don't make excuses. I'll be praying for you.